The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you now stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. They were alarmed. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Today we celebrate because Christ is indeed risen. And we can be confident that his death on that cross on Good Friday was an all-sufficient sacrifice for our sins. A payment in full that God the Father has given his thumbs up to. Yes, it is accomplished. It is finished. Indeed, all sins, the entire world's sins, are forgiven. The Apostle Paul says it best. And this comes after our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 15, verses after that. He says, "If Christ is not raised from the dead, we should be pitied above all people. If Christ is not risen, then we'd still be in our sins," he says. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. We'd have no comfort. We'd have no certainty about our salvation. But, he goes on in the next verse, that's not the case. He says, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." The first fruits, right? Of those who have fallen asleep. So if he's the first fruits, that means there are more to follow, more to come. He's the first of many. Christ indeed is risen. And in 1 Corinthians 15, from our text today, the risen Lord Jesus, Paul says, he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, then to the 12. He then appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive. You can go talk to them. You can go check it out. They saw him, literally spoke to him. Though it has been some time, so some have fallen asleep, he says. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, this is Paul again, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. Of course, Paul, the persecutor before his conversion. But that's proof, Paul lists there. Eyewitness proof, certainty of Christ's resurrection. Therefore, we do have comfort. We do have certainty. This shall be my confidence, we just say, because Christ is risen and our salvation is sure. Just as certain as Christ lives, all of our sins are forgiven. Count on it. Just as Christ lives, we too shall arise on that great, glorious final day. As we heard on Good Friday, Jesus died. As our substitute, Jesus, true God, true man, lived a perfect life in our stead under the law, and he accomplished the law for us. He carried all of our sin, in all of the sin of the entire world. He bore in his body past, present, future sin, all of it. He bore in his body as he went to the cross to make that sufficient sacrifice for our sins, to suffer and die. God died. On the cross, he paid the penalty we deserve. That penalty, of course, is death. But by rising from the grave, still true God, still true man, Jesus announces the victory to all who have ears to hear, the entire world. He announces that death has been defeated once for all. The grave could not hold our Savior, and his victory is our victory over death. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us a glimpse of our own resurrection. His resurrection is a sneak preview of what is yet to come for you who believe and are baptized into Christ Jesus. His resurrection gives us hope and assurance that we too shall arise on that last day. His resurrection is both the reason and the guarantee of our own resurrection. Have you ever wondered what that day will be like, that great and glorious last day, the resurrection, the day when you, dear believers in Christ, will rise from the grave victoriously over death because of what Christ has done for you, and you will live as a new creation with Christ forever in a new heavens, a new earth? Well, we get a picture of that in our readings today. It's actually from the Old Testament reading, from Isaiah 25. The prophet Isaiah, under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing some more than 700 years before the birth of Christ, he prophesied that a Savior would come, and this Savior is going to swallow up death forever. Isaiah tells us, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. Upon this mountain," which is, of course, Mount Zion, spiritual heavenly mountain, not necessarily a physical place, but a spiritual heavenly mountain, "God will gather together all peoples," that is, all believers. Of course, this isn't universalism, where all people are going to heaven and all people are going to be saved no matter what. Sadly, those who do reject this invitation and do reject Jesus will not be. They have excluded themselves from that. But all believers, that is both Jew, Gentiles, he will shower us with his gifts on that holy mountain. He will hold a feast of celebration with only the finest foods, the choicest of meats, full of fat, full of marrow. Sorry if you are a vegan, but this is good news. The finest of wines, well-aged, refined wine, aged to perfection, because it just wouldn't be a celebration without wine. What a beautiful image that we have here. A beautiful image of the feast, the ultimate feast that we are all waiting for, that we have a foretaste of when we come to the Lord's Supper. And he says, Isaiah says, that God will remove, on that mountain, he will remove all the negative experiences that we have in this life. He says this, on this heavenly mountain, Christ will swallow up the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. So here Isaiah describes sin and the result of sin, which is, of course is death. He describes it as a veil or a covering that is cast over all people, right? There's no escaping it. In this life, we can't escape sin. We can't escape the consequences, the effects of sin, which includes suffering in this life, and it includes, ultimately, death. We're reminded of that. We're reminded of sin every time we mourn the loss of a loved one, every time we see the face of death, every time we narrowly escape a tragic car accident, every time we hear of novel viruses that are coming to attack us. See, we can't help but think of our own mortality often, whenever we think that someday we will die. And we can't help but mourn about that. We mourn because there's something inside every one of us that knows that this thing called death is not right, that there's something wrong here. This is not how it should be. For originally, we were not created to die in the garden. Adam and Eve were not created to die, but of course sin entered into the world, and as following suit, as a consequence, death entered into the world. You see, death forces us to recognize and to confess this veil of death, this veil of sin that is spread over all of us, all people, and it's a result of sin. But because of Christ, and because Christ is indeed crucified and risen, death will be swallowed up forever, Isaiah promises, our Lord promises. All sin and all the effects of sin, including death, will be removed from us. On that day, on that great and glorious day when Christ returns and raises us from the dead, he will remove the veil of death. And as a loving, compassionate father wipes away the tears of his dear, precious daughter, the Lord will wipe away your tears as he gently comforts you eternally. Dear beloved children of God, you can be absolutely certain that this will happen. It will happen. Because Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Because Isaiah is speaking, as he says, this is the word of God. The Lord has spoken, Isaiah says. It is signed, it is sealed with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It will happen. He's risen. We can count on that. This shall be our confidence. Isaiah then goes on to say, it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Only faith, only that waiting, expected, knowing, hoping, but that waiting in faith, only faith in Christ saves. The Old Testament people believed in Christ. They believed in they waited for God to redeem them, to fulfill his promise, to send a Messiah and to save them all from their sin. He will save us. And as God's New Testament people on this side of the resurrection, we know that he has. And we know how he's done it. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. On the last day, all believers in Christ will rise because Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he's raised again for your justification. You too shall rise. And on that day, our bodies, your bodies, shall be like his glorified body. No more suffering. No more death. No more heartache. No more tears, no more sin. On that day, There will only be rejoicing in what Christ has done for us. And on that day, all of God's people, the Old Testament people, the New Testament people, those who are with us now today, those who have gone before us and are in heaven now awaiting that day, we all together as one body of Christ will shout together to our crucified and risen Lord Savior, and we will shout, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is our Lord, the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." God has spoken. It will happen. You are saved because Christ is risen. Be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.